After yesterday's state Supreme Court ruling, clerks across Wisconsin can move forward on mailing more than a million ballots to voters. Justices ruled 4-3 to keep Green Party presidential candidate Howie Hawkins off the ballot. Last week, they ordered clerks to stop sending ballots until the matter was resolved. Had the court ruled in Hawkins' favor, at least 2.3 million ballots would have had to have been reprinted. The majority opinion said that would have led to confusion among voters who had already received, maybe even returned, their original ballots. In response, Hawkins said, quote, "We got screwed." The case was being watched closely because of how tight the election is expected to be and the prospect that Hawkins might siphon votes from Democrats in particular. Charlie Jacobs is a professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. Charlie, good to have you back with us.
Nice to be here, Rob.
Well, it was a tangled road to get here, Charlie. What's your reaction to the outcome?
I mean, it seems to me that the court was trying to weigh the ramifications and the effects of interjecting themselves into this process. I mean, one of the fundamental issues with the question that they were being asked to resolve was sort of what's going to be fair, what's going to be sort of a resolution that's actually going to work. And I think the biggest problem for the court was that the time frame was so compressed, and because we're facing such an unusual election, that if they decided to delay and to force the state to go back and reprint a bunch of ballots, that it may have impacted the election in such a problematic way that we might be viewed as sort of one of these outlier states where we don't know whether or not we had an accurate count, whether or not we had an appropriate election conducted. And I think that while you sense in the majority opinion that they were sympathetic to the Green Party arguments, at the same time, their hands were tied because of limitations related to printing of ballots and distributing them to the voters, both here and overseas.
And the Green Party candidates didn't get on ultimately because of a technicality, which technicalities, I guess, are important. I think their vice presidential candidate changed the address, and that that muddled basically their signature collection process. They didn't resolve it initially when given the chance. There's got to be feeling, if you're a Green Party candidate, I imagine, that the outcome was unfair to them. How do you tackle that?
Well, certainly, in many ways, you can view it through that lens. But as the Green Party knows, and the Libertarian Party knows, and the Constitution Party knows, every party in every state that attempts to get on a ballot is hamstrung by the rules that are created by the two dominant parties in the state. Why would any party that overwhelms the system want to grant entry to another party that might siphon votes or might upend an apple cart that the two major parties have been accustomed to dragging along the election process for all these years? So while I am sympathetic, and I think the court was too, about the rules and the way in which they were applied, the difficulty is this is just sort of baked into the way in which the system works, trying to get the requisite number of signatures in order to get on a ballot. And it goes deeper than that in the election process about who gets to participate in debates, when they get to participate in debates, whether or not they're automatically on the ballot in the following election cycle, depending upon how many votes you receive. So, you know, this is kind of a hurdle that exists constantly for minor parties in the United States. It frustrates voters who want to see a third or fourth party option to try to blunt some of the effects of the two major parties. So, you know, this is something that's just been hanging around American politics for most of our history.
Now, the Hawkins campaign for the Green Party said they couldn't find a lawyer from the usual progressive law suspects. They ended up working with a law firm that usually works with Republicans. Kanye West, the performer trying to get on Wisconsin's ballot, some Republican names helped him try to do that. He also ended up falling short, it looks like, at this point. The assumption there by Republicans is that having a Green Party candidate on and maybe Kanye West hurts Democrats, and Democrats seem to agree with that assessment and didn't want to get those on the ballot. Do you think that's accurate? Do you think those candidates would hurt Democrats and help Republicans?
So if you look back at 2016, because, you know, Hillary Clinton and her campaign is still stung by, you know, the votes that seemed to have been sucked from her column over to Trump, or at least aided Trump in 2016, you know, most of the exit polls that were analyzed after the 2016 election, it wasn't as though people who were voting for the Green Party candidate, Stein, were doing so because they were switching their votes from Hillary. And if Stein hadn't been on the ballot, they would have voted for Hillary. They were voting for Stein because they wouldn't have shown up otherwise. So it's not an either or in the sense of I'm going to vote for one candidate or another. It's this was the only choice I had. So, you know, if that kind of pattern would hold in this election, my suspicion is that if Hawkins isn't on the ballot, the people who would have voted for the Green Party slate are just going to stay home because really he's attractive to those individuals who would have voted for Bernie Sanders. I mean, he's a socialist and he is advocating a $20 minimum wage. He's advocating Medicare for all. And a lot of people are off put by Joe Biden because he is not liberal enough. And I'm not sure whether or not they want to go to the polls and pull a lever for Biden. They probably would just stay home.
Talking to Charlie Jacobs, political science professor at St. Norbert College in Napier, looking at the outcome of this challenge that put Wisconsin ballot printing and mailing on hold for a bit. It is now spinning back into gear after a state Supreme Court ruling affirming that the Green Party should stay off the ballot because of a decision made by the state's main election commission. All right, Charlie, these ballots are being mailed. We're going to see, I think, again, the assumption is a lot more absentee ballots in this general election than we usually see based on our experiences so far during the pandemic. What are you watching for with how this affects our election?
So I think what I'm watching for is whether or not they are, you know, delivered in a timely fashion. Another is just it's a process, and a process that if you've never voted absentee before, you might not be familiar with. And so there are signatures to obtain and you know, timely delivery back to registrars of voters. So it's not merely a debate about whether or not the Postal Service is going to have the resources necessary to deliver and then pick up and return, but it's whether or not the public is accustomed to and is willing to sort of follow through with the entire process. So there's a lot of learning that has to go on, and there's a lot of education that has to go on here. And I think we also have to see whether or not local registrars of voters and towns and municipalities are creating avenues by which individuals can return them, maybe not through the mail, but having drop-off boxes and extra hours at certain facilities to make sure that people feel comfortable getting their ballot where it's supposed to go. So, you know, I think we're going to see some roll-off here in the sense of people are going to get their ballots but not return them. The question is what percentage of people is that going to happen to?
Now, we've seen a lot of politics over mail-in voting. The president and Attorney General Barr both raising concerns over election fraud, talking down mail-in voting. We're seeing some signs from Republican strategists in states like Florida saying, no, hold on. You're going to just discourage Republican voters from voting by mail. We want them to do that. What do you think of this Republican-Democrat split over voting by mail?
I mean, I think that, you know, there was sort of this message that was coming through from the White House. And so there was piggybacking on the drumbeat that was coming out of the administration and Trump's attempt to try to discredit this kind of process, assuming that there's fraud in the system. But most states who use universal mail-in voting don't exhibit fraud to any meaningful extent. Yes, there's fraud in voting, but it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, to find elections where the fraud impacted the outcome. And I think what's concerning for Republicans in general is that a lot of their base is older. I mean, the 18 to 25-year-olds have, over the last several elections, swung hard to the Democrats. And so if you've got a population cohort that might be apprehensive about showing up in person to vote, the mechanism is mail-in voting. And if you've told them that it's going to be problematic, you might just not get their vote at all. So I think that there's a reality and a pragmatism of this has to work for everybody. So we might as well encourage our voters to show up as well. And that's why all of a sudden you see the Republicans on the bandwagon.
Before I let you go, Charlie, I want to get your take on the state of the presidential race here in Wisconsin. Lots of polls showing a modest Biden lead in the state, 4%, 5%, 6% in that neighborhood. One out today from CNN, SSRS, showing a 10-point lead for Biden. I know with polls like that, sometimes you just look at the outlier and nod and then go back to the conventional wisdom. What do you think of the latest in polling?
I mean, I think what might be somewhat alarming for the Trump administration is that, you know, we haven't seen an election, probably in 20 years, where, you know, the Republican got higher than 49% of the vote. And most of the time, it's sort of hugging around 46 or 47%. Trump right now in the latest Marquette poll is sitting at around 44% of likely voters. He doesn't have much room for growth when Biden is already polling 48%. Those who refuse to answer, those who don't know, are only at about 4%. So this is real a tight window that the Trump administration and the campaign has to try to get through. So it's going to be a foot race to the end, but one that Biden at the moment seems to have a little bit of a lead on that he might not relinquish.
Charlie, thanks a lot for joining us.
My pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
Charlie Jacobs is a professor of political science at St. Norbert College in De Pere. We talked to them about yesterday's state Supreme Court decision that kept the Green Party presidential ticket off the ballot and how it all fits in to the November election.